we are going to think about something that I don't have, you don't have, and nobody has. We are going to talk about anxiety. God is good. I'm going to read from Luke 12, 22 to 34. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I'll tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what your body, or about your body, what you're going to wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valued you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothed the grass of the field, which is there today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan would run after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and this thing will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fall, where no thieves comes near to, and no moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Are you an anxious person? Has the anxiety taken over your life in the last few days? Are you that kind of people who live beating their nails, anticipating the problems? The problems are still so far, and you think they are knocking on your door? Suffering before problems and even creating problems? You suffer thinking about what you are going to eat, what are you going to wear, where are you going to live, where are you going to work, where your son going to study, how your retirement goes to be. What if you get sick? What if someone in your family dies? Anxiety is the evil of this century. It hits men and women, young and old, doctors and illiterates, religious and atheists. People are so nervous. They are like a volcano about to erupt. They are like a powder keg red to explode. There are several causes of anxiety. One, treat. There are a lot of people looking forward to the treat of a disease. They get anxious just thinking about getting sick. Others are afraid to die. They get upset just thinking about dying. There was that man who cried a lot, and someone asked him, "Why are you crying?" "I am afraid of losing my mother." "Is she sick?" "No, but I cry just thinking that one day she's going to die." Others feel threatened by the fear of loneliness. Others feel insecure about losing their jobs. Another cause of anxiety is fear. Fear is more than a feeling. It is a spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but give us power, love, and self-discipline." Fear of not marrying. Fear marrying. Fear of divorcing. Fear of life. Fear of death. Fear of loneliness. Fear of multitude. Fear of today. Fear of tomorrow. Fear of the knowing. Fear of the unknowing. There are various effects of anxiety. One, physical reactions. More than 50% of diseases are psychosomatic. People are looking for a chemical peace. We live the empire today of the tranquilizers. People sleep in artificial sleep. The Bible says, "A heart of peace gives life to the body, but envy roots the bones." The other effect of anxiety is spiritual reactions. Anxiety keeps us from God. Where the anxiety begins, the faith ends. Anxiety is the womb where incredulity is born. What is not anxiety? It is not despising the needs of the body. Jesus taught us to pray. "Our daily bread give us today." But the word is denigrating man and animal in an animal level. The word is denigrating man at animal level. Looks like the well-being physical is the sole purpose of the life. Anxiety is not prohibiting the welfare of the future. The Bible approves the ants' foresight work. Also, the birds make provision for the future, building nests and feeding the puppies. Many migrate to warmer climates before winter. What Jesus forbids is not welfare, but anxious concern. The Apostle Paul advises, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Do not look forward to anything. The Apostle Peter exhorts, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Anxiety is not to be exempt from earning your own life. We cannot expect sustenance of God seated saying lazily, "My Heavenly Father will provide." We have to work. Christ used the example of birds and plants. They both work. The birds seek the food that God has provided in nature. The plants extract from the soil and the sun their livelihood. Anxiety is not to be free of difficulties. Being anxiety-free and being hassle-free is not the same thing. Although God has seen the grass in the field, it does not prevent it from being cut and burned. Although God feed us, He does not relieve us in afflictions and griefs, including financials. Okay, how about anxiety? Anxiety is destructive. The word anxiety comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word that means struggling. It pulls in the opposite direction. It generates an existential schizophrenia. This man, Corrie ten Boom, said that anxiety does not empty the tomorrow from its suffering. It empties the today of its power. Anxiety could be crucified between two thieves. The thief of the regretting in relation to the past, and the thief of concern about the future. The Apostle Paul warned these two thieves of his joy, forgetting that what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. And do not be anxious about anything. Anxiety is misleading, has the power to create a problem that does not exist. We often suffer not by a real problem, but a fictitious problem generated by our own troubled mind. The disciples look at Jesus walking on the waters, coming to rescue them, and full of fear, they thought he was a ghost. Anxiety has the power to increase problems and diminish our ability to solve the problems. An anxious person is like the spies of Israel, only see the giants of hardship in front of them and see themselves as a locust. David and the soldiers of Saul. Everyone sees the giant. David looks at victory. Gerasi looked at the enemies and got scared. Elisha looked with another eyes. Anxiety has the power to take our eyes from God and put them in the circumstances. Anxiety is an act of unbelief, of lack of confidence in God. Where the anxiety begins, the faith ends. Anxiety has the power to take our eyes from eternity and put them only in temporal things. An anxious person restricts his life only to the body and physical needs. Jesus said that those who make provision only for the body and not for the soul are crazy. Anxiety is useless. The concern, according to Jesus, rather than stretching life, may well shorten it. Anxiety kills us little by little. Anxiety steals our strength kills our dreams, undermines our health, weakens our faith, takes our trust in God, and pushes us into a life less than Christians. The hostel and the burials, they are full of anxious people. Anxiety kills. The sense of the word anxiety is strangling. It pulls in opposite direction. When we are anxious, stubborn to take the reins of our life and take them out of God's hand. The anxiety leads us to lose the joy of today because of the fear of tomorrow. People care about exams, jobs, health, dating, ventures, money, marriage, investments, but those fears and worries will often never happen. Anxiety is incompatible with common sense. It is a waste of time. We need to live one day at a time. We must plan for the future, but not to live anxious because of the future. Worrying about tomorrow won't help us either tomorrow or today. If something steals our strength today, it means we are going to be weaker tomorrow. It means that we will suffer unnecessarily if the problem does not happen and we will suffer double if it arrives. Anxiety is blind. Anxiety is a false vision of life, a false vision of ourselves, and a false vision of God. Anxiety leads us to believe that life is made only of what we eat and we wear. We were so worried about the means that we forget the reason of life. And the reason of life is to glorify God. Anxiety does not allow us to see the work of God's providence in creation. God feeds the birds of heaven. The ravens do not sow, do not reap, have no pantry, no provision for 1 week, have no barn, no provision for 1 year. Let's look at some of Jesus' arguments against anxiety. If God has given us a body with life, and if our body is more than the food and the garments, He will give us food and garments. God is responsible for our life and for our body. If God takes of the greatest, that is our body, we cannot trust Him to take care of the smallest, our food and our garment, and other things from our lives. We have the birds and the flowers as an example. Martin Luther said that Jesus is making the birds our teachers and masters. The most fragile sparrow turns into a theologian and preacher to the wisest of men, saying, "I prefer to be in Lord's kitchen." He did all the things. He knows my needs and supports me. The lilies dress with greater glory than Solomon. We are worth more than the birds and the flowers. If God feeds the birds and wears the lilies of the field, won't He take care of His children? The problem is not the little power of God. The problem is our little faith. The problem is my little faith. Anxiety is incredulous. Anxiety makes us less than Christians. Anxiety is incompatible with the Christian faith. Anxiety is not Christian. It's generated in the womb of unbelief. Anxiety is a sin. It resembles us to pagans. When we are anxious about what to eat, about what to wear, and other things, when we are anxious about what to eat, what to wear, and other things we are living on, we are living on a lower level than those of animals and plants. And nature depends on God, and God never fails. How can we encourage people to put their trust in God with respect to heaven if we do not trust in God in relation to the things of earth? An anxious believer is a contradiction. Anxiety is the opposite of faith. It's an inconsistency to preach faith and to live anxiety. Anxiety leads us to lose Christian testimony. Jesus is saying that anxiety is characteristic of the Gentiles and the pagans, those who do not know God. But a son of God has conviction of the love of God and the care of God. We read in Romans 8:31-32, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" How to overcome anxiety? To know that God is our Father and He knows all our needs. We overcome anxiety when we trust in God. Faith is the antidote to the anxiety. God knows us. God loves us. He is our Father. He knows what we need. If we ask for bread, He will not give us a stone. If we ask for fish, He will not give us a snake. He is the God who created us. He is the God that keeps us alive. He protects us. He saves us. He guards us. He supports us. The apostle taught us to overcome anxiety by praying to God. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Anxiety is a wrong thought and a wrong feeling. We look at life from God's perspective. Our mind is guarded by the peace of God. When we nurture our feelings with the trust that God knows our needs and supplies them, then God's peace holds our heart. Peace is a sentinel that guards our fortress, the fortress of our soul. Know that our God is Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi. He takes care of us. We have to know that God has already pleased to give us His kingdom. We must know that God has already given us more important things than material things, material goods, and any other gift or any other thing that we are looking for. God has given us everything. He gave us His Son. He gave us salvation. He gave us His kingdom. We are sheep of His flock. We are children of His family. We are servants of His kingdom. If He already giving us the biggest, He won't give us the smallest? Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? God loved us with everlasting love. He sent us His Son, begotten, only begotten Son. He proved His love for us when He sent His Son to die in our place, to give us His kingdom. Knowing that when we take care of God's thing, He takes care of our needs. Here we have an order and a promise. The order is to seek the government of God, the will of God, the reign of God. We have to seek in our hearts in the first place. God and not us must occupy the top of our agenda. The interest of God and ours must occupy our mind and our heart. We are challenged to seek the government and dominion of Christ in all areas of our life. Marriage, home, family, professional, leisure. The promise is that when we take care of God's thing, He takes care of our needs. All these things will be given to you. He does overtime on behalf of His children. He works in favor of those who trust Him. To know that we must change the course of our lives. Our problem is not the pursuit of pleasure, but contentment with a very, very small pleasure. God must be our greatest pleasure. No less than God and His kingdom must occupy our minds and our hearts. We are challenged to seek a wealth that does not perish, gathering treasure not on earth, to put our money, to put our goods, to put our lives in the service of God and His kingdom. Instead of living anxiously, gathering treasure for ourselves. In the kingdom of God, you have what you give, and lose what you retain. In the kingdom of God, there are rich poor, and there are poor rich. The big question is where our treasure is. If our treasure is in things, in persons, in our own agenda, then we will make a wrong investment and live anxious. But if our treasure is in the heaven, in the kingdom of God, then we will seek this kingdom in the first place and live free from anxiety in God forever. Dear Heavenly Father, make me in the first place a person without anxiety. Make us all person without anxiety, that we can believe in you, that we can trust in you, because you are God. If your answer is yes, you are God. If your answer is no, you are still our God. If we are healed, you are God. If we are not healed, you still are God. If the door opens, you are God. But if the door does not open, you still are God. Bring to our memory the things that will give us hope and the things that will make us remember who you are. In the name of Jesus, amen.